Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Hello, and welcome to Headstrong. If this is your first time tuning in, my name is Louis Strong, and I host this podcast, funnily enough. Headstrong is a podcast where I sit down with a number of guests and individuals in the public eye to talk to them about their lives and careers. But notably, I want to talk to them about their vulnerabilities to understand what the word headstrong means to them. Joining me on today's episode of Headstrong is Megan Barton Hansen. Now, Megan is a wonderfully interesting character. I really enjoyed chatting to Megan, and we talked about her youth and growing up at school. We also talked about trolling and how she's dealt with them in the past, how she deals with them now on social media. And we also talked about relationships and toxic relationships and what is really important to do in those situations and how important it is to put yourself first, just like she does. But first, a quick note from our sponsors, RCK Partners, who specialise in helping UK businesses claim R&D tax relief across the engineering, agricultural and tech space. Now, if you'd like to find out about this valuable source of funding for your business, head to rck.partners or follow the link in the podcast description below. That's rck.partners. Now let's crack on with the episode.
Megan, thank you so much for joining me on Headstrong. How's it going today?
I'm good. I'm enjoying the sunshine, absolutely living my best life. I thrive in the sun. It does so much for my mood, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I've actually recently gone from having my hair from my shoulders, and I've literally just gone back to this because it was so hot. It was outrageous. So it had to be done. And living the sun. Have you been away this summer yet?
Yeah, this year it's been the most I've traveled ever. I've been to Vegas, LA, Morocco, Marbella, just come back from Greece. I'm making up for lost time, aggressively traveling.
Where in Greece? Because I'm going next week.
Oh, amazing. I went to Santorini, stayed there for 2 nights. Mm. And then I think it's Ios or Eos, the little island. It was so fun.
Oh, amazing. So when you're not on your traveling, your hollybobs, what does a kind of a daily routine look like for you then? Do you have a strict routine or are you quite kind of go with the flow?
I'm a bit of a procrastinator, but I do try and stick to a little regime. So I get up, have a black coffee, get on my Peloton bike, which I got just before lockdown, luckily, because there was a big old weight on those. And I'm obsessed with it. I think just the energy of the instructors. And I always pick like an instructor I really fancy. Like there's so many beautiful women on there. I'm just like perving whilst I'm pedaling. I do that. And then I go.
That could be the catchphrase. for Peloton.
Pedaling while you pedal. And then I go to the gym across the road and do like weights. And then once I've done that, then my actual day begins and I'll do like whatever podcast I've got or whatever work I've got to do. Yeah. But I feel like morning setup is really good for me. I feel productive then by the time it's like reached 11 o'clock, I'm like, okay, I've done something.
So are you quite an early riser or do you kind of force yourself to get up early so you feel like you've had success in the day?
Yeah, it doesn't come naturally. I really do force myself. And if there's any like midweek drinking going on, that does get pushed back by like 3 hours.
Yeah, I feel you. Are you quite strict on yourself in that regard? But sometimes like, you know, in the summer, the sun's out and you have like impromptu bottle of rosé somewhere that can slowly and steadily creep into several.
Yeah. No, I am quite good. I never used to be because I've always had jobs where I'm my own boss, really. So I can dictate like what days are a day off and what days are working day. So I think I've got better maybe the last 2 years with really being strict and being like, no, this is like a week where I'm working. I need to treat it like a 9 to 5.
So if we look back then at, say, school and there's that routine in place at school, was that good for you being in that kind of infrastructure?
Yeah, I love routine. I think people thrive on routine. If you don't have that, there's just too much time to overthink. Like one of my biggest downfalls is that I overthink everything. So if I've got too much time on my hands and I don't have some kind of routine, it can be dangerous. So yeah, I love a routine. Even though when you're at school, you absolutely hate it. And I remember counting down the days and adding up the years and how long I've got left until I can leave. But no, I did like that routine and getting up and yeah.
Did you see school in terms of the educational side of it, an opportunity, or was it more, you know, one of those things you're like, oh, not enough, you know, I've got to go again, you know?
I didn't enjoy it because I'm not academic and I hate saying that, but I found it hard to learn, like the traditional ways and the way they teach you at school. I found that quite hard to learn that way. So I wouldn't like get out of bed and like be skipping to school, but I definitely wanted to give it everything I had. Like I've come from a really like working class family and my parents had drilled it into me that this is your one chance to study hard, make a good career and like make the best life for yourself. So I would really take exams seriously. I'd really try. I had like extra tuition after school and stuff like that.
In terms of your kind of personal life at school then, because I know that you've talked about it before, but it's always interesting to kind of reflect on it in a new conversation in terms of your time at school. And it's fair to say that you probably didn't have the best time and weren't exactly treated the best way at school as well. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think just being an introvert, like kids can be quite cruel and people pick up on that. Like if you're quite introverted and shy, people like, especially young kids, they like to have that kind of power. Well, it seems like trolling in a sense. It's like people control because there's no consequences. If you're a shy person at school, people know there's not going to be much like comeback if they say whatever they want to you. So I felt like primary school, junior school was fine. I was just a little bit like nerdy and shy. And then as I got older, I got more attention from boys, but like the wrong kind of attention. And I would say things to like please these guys and to act like I was more grown up than I was. And then they threw that back in my face and I was slut shamed. And it was awful. Like I couldn't go home and tell my mum like why I wanted to move school, because back then people didn't speak about women and like self-love and masturbation and stuff. If a girl said they masturbated, they'll be like ostracized. Like, oh my God, that's disgusting. So it was really sticky for me. Like year 9 was awful because our school was separated. So we had year 7 and 8. In a lower block, and then you'd move up to a whole different school, and that would be year 9 to 11. And it was a guy in year 11, and he asked me, he was like, oh, have you ever like touched yourself? I was like, yeah, of course I have. And then from that first day in year 9, everyone in the school was like, that's the girl who fingers herself. I was like, oh, great, this is gonna be fun.
So is it fair to say then, you know, you say that you were slightly maybe introverted as well. Do you feel isolated then in kind of year 9, 10, 11?
Not isolated. I had a big group of friends. I was lucky. I was like, it sounds so cringy to say, but like the girls I hung around with was quite popular. But it was just isolated in the fact that no women or no one in the public eye spoke about this being normal. Like boys would speak about masturbation all the time. There was just no representation of girls doing that. And I think what was worse, I felt like I was embarrassing my friends. But
Yeah, sure. I mean, were they supportive in terms of defending you, say, or kind of backing you up when certain people would say stuff to you?
No, not really. But I think that's just the way it was back then. Like, there was no education on like women's pleasure, and they were probably just embarrassed. Like, I don't blame them, young sure. girls. And to get by in that environment at school, you just want to fit in with the crowd, don't you? So
yeah. It's just better to, I know what you mean. You want to keep your head down and get through it, but you also want to be, I feel like at school, you always want to be liked by everybody. You never want to upset anyone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Why is that? Like, it's so weird. It's been built in all of us when we're young, like everyone must like me.
And also it's just, so it's crazy now. You look back on it and you go, it's so good to be the one that stands out. It's like, it's just should be told. I feel like maybe at school it was told to you. It's like great to do what you want or be individual, but you're like, oh no, it's much easier to not. Let's just get on with it. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's difficult. But when did you first become aware then of your own mental health or your well-being?
Probably around that time. So year 9, I don't know what age that is, but yeah, probably around that age. So obviously with all that going on, I didn't really want to go into school. I'd have anxiety, even though I didn't know how to label it or what that feeling was, but I just knew that my heart would like feel like I'd have heart palpitations. I'd get sweaty if I saw that group of boys at school. And yeah, it wasn't pleasant. So I guess that's when I first had mental health. But even then, I told my mum that I didn't want to go to school and I was unhappy, but I couldn't tell her why. And even when I went and saw the therapist, I may have told the therapist, but I think I kind of lied with why I was anxious and I didn't want to tell her.
So was that the first stepping stone then? You kind of told your mum in terms of you're feeling, you know, ostracized slightly at school, weren't enjoying it necessarily. And then you went to see a therapist. How did that come about? Were you given that opportunity through the doc, going to see your GP?
Yeah. So like I said, my parents didn't come from like really wealthy backgrounds. So we didn't really know what to do. I looked online and I didn't even have like a Saturday job back then. So there was no way I could afford to go private. So we went to my doctor and even that, I just felt I wasn't worthy. And I looked back and I'm like, I just want to give me a hug. And I think that's so like so many people feel the same. They think nothing detrimental has happened to me. Why am I going to take up the doctor's time and say I feel unhappy? But really, it's all different like life experiences. Things you don't even know have caused you trauma that could be like a throwaway comment from someone could trigger something. So I think that's really important to let people know that you don't need a reason. It could just be like an imbalance in your brain. Like whatever it is, you're worthy. Go there and like find out what the issue is. So yeah, I went and I was like so shy, so embarrassed. I was like, I just can't get happy. And I remember saying like, I don't know what it is. I'm not like really, really sad all the time, but I'm not happy. It just feels like there's a gray cloud hanging over me and it won't go. They recommended like 6 sessions, I think they give you on the NHS, and they said CBT therapy. And that was really good. The first session I had wasn't that kind of therapy. It was just more counselling, which I didn't find very productive. I like to like fix things and find answers. And with CBT, it's a way to like retrain your mind. So that really worked for me.
Amazing. For those who don't know, would you like to explain what the kind of things that you were doing?
So it varies. It's all different. But one of my biggest things, like I touched on earlier, is the way I overthink and I speak really negatively to myself. And she would say, look, if this was your friend or a younger version of you and you're like the young Megan, you wouldn't speak to her like this. Like, you've got to show yourself some compassion and love. And I think that was really difficult for me, but that's what's helped me grow. I think age as well helps you, but just learning to retrain my mind every time I go to say, you're not good enough or you're not going to be able to do this. Be like, no, look what I've achieved so far. There's no evidence to say I can't do it. You can do it and you will do it. Like that kind of thing.
Yeah, totally. It's just, it's getting that control. And obviously that's, it's something that's really, really difficult, particularly, you know, when it's that first time going to see a therapist, if it is the first time you go, it's so difficult to actually get it off your chest, but it's so much better when you've actually got it out in the open and it, someone will actually tell you, being like, well, hang on, we can sort this out.
Yeah, 100%. I really say it's similar to going to the gym. No one really loves going to the gym. You're going to get sweaty. It's going to be uncomfortable. But when you come out, you're going to feel so good.
It's exactly right. And I always think as well, you can just, like, you train the body, you have to train the mind. And there's countless things that help that. You know, it's even you know, taking Hamilton out for a long walk and I chuck in a podcast. It's like actually having that hour to myself and just kind of being alone with my thoughts. It's like, you know, like recalibrate almost. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
Is there anything else that you do to say, keep in check with yourself?
Yeah, if I have like a really stressful day or a really stressful morning, I recently had a few sessions with this lady and she does NLP. And don't ask me what that stands for, but it's some way of, again, retraining your mind. And it's all about like positive affirmations and stuff. And if I get overwhelmed, I'll just literally, I could be anywhere, just lay there or sit there, shut my eyes and just envision the reason why I'm doing things that say I don't want to do that day, or like where I want to be in 3 years and how... kind of like meditation. So yeah, I'll just like take myself to that place for like a minute, maybe sometimes longer if I have time, 5 minutes, just meditate and just think like what I want to achieve, where I'm going to be, what does it look like, what am I wearing, who am I surrounded by, where am I in the world? And that really helps to just like put things into perspective when my mind sometimes goes a little bit wild.
Yeah, for sure. It's great. And do you have a good like support bubble around you of people that you feel like you can rely on? And obviously I know that you don't want to call your friends with every problem that you have. And obviously it's the same for me and probably anybody, but you know, you want to have those close friends where you go, look, I'm having one of those off days. Have you got 5 minutes?
Yeah, definitely. I don't have a huge, huge circle of friends. I have a lot of acquaintances, but I have a tight circle of friends, which I will literally tell anything to. And I think that's why like I'm so close with them, because I do, even embarrassing things. Like I'm just such an open person. I really guess I've got my parents to thank for that. My mum's always like had any conversation with me, nothing's off limits. And when she's heard me now in interviews say like, oh, I didn't want to tell you why I wanted to change school, she's like, but we always used to speak about like sex and body parts, Meg, you didn't have to be silly. I was like, yeah. So no, I've got a really open connection with my mum. I'd say she's my biggest rock. And then yeah, I've got like maybe five friends that I could just tell them anything.
That's really nice. I mean, it's not, you would rather have it closer and less than kind of wider and not as close, if that makes sense. When we look at kind of various other aspects, then how old were you when you first got your own phone and kind of started getting introduced to social media? Do you remember that?
It must have been around that sort of age, like year 9 year 10.
Yeah. And what the problem is, because there's no lessons on how to deal with social media, particularly when it first came around. And it can be very sour, particularly for young adults. What was your relationship like in that regard, you know, before Love Island and before kind of all your other achievements?
I always liked social media. I didn't really feel that there was much pressure. Like where I came from, like people didn't have like a lot of money. So it wasn't like showy, like it isn't what it is now. I feel like now on social media and Instagram, it's like what designer bag you have, what watch you have, what car you're driving. Back then, all I had was MySpace and I thought I was like the best thing. And I'd have a whole page dedicated to like Megan's top five songs that week. Like it wasn't really about image. It was just about like connecting with friends and music and stuff like that. And then maybe when Instagram came around, I got on that. And that's how I started actually getting into the whole like glamour modeling, that sort of thing. So I saw girls do the same. And I was like, if they can do that, I can do that. And I posted more and more like bikini content. So before I even went into Love Island, my followers were like 200,000. And then I started getting paid jobs off of that and like traveling the world modeling for that. So it has helped me. But I do know, and I have had times where I'm like, I've cried over social media. Like it can be toxic.
Yeah, I completely agree. And it's difficult to find that balance, particularly when for you now in particular are using it for kind of promotional tools, as in it's your job and it's your business or part of your business. Do you know what I mean? So it's difficult to find what you are able to use it for. But so many people use it just for their own personal usage. And I have no doubt that if you flicked over onto your requested messages, there's going to be a whole deal of negativity as well, which is horrible.
Yeah, that took some real self-restraint at first when I had that big following, like when I come off of Love Island, not to look through that, because we're all guilty of it. Like there's a little bit of self-sabotage going on with me sometimes. Like if I have a bad day, and I'm like, oh, well, this is a crap day. Let me add insult to injury. I have gone in them requests and really like read some nasty things. Like, why am I doing this? So yeah, that did take a lot of self-control at first, but nothing's good going to come from reading them. So I don't anymore. And also they have introduced this thing. They can hide requests. So I've set certain keywords. So for example, for me, I have a lot of slut shaming and stuff like that. So anything that contains words slut or fake or anything derogatory, I've set that so it doesn't come up anymore. So they, I guess they're doing a little something, Instagram.
Is enough being done though? Do you think that there's more work to be done? And in terms of even institutionally, should there be more done in schools, say, to help this?
Yeah, 1,000%. People need to be held accountable. Like, you wouldn't walk up to someone on the street and say these things that people are trolling people for. You just wouldn't. It'll be harassment. You'll be arrested. So they need to make people accountable. Like, everyone needs to upload like a form of ID, I feel, to have an account.
Mm.
And have great one idea. Picture of their face on it, definitely, to be accountable. Because you wouldn't, you'd be embarrassed if your coworkers knew that you was trolling someone. Like, you just wouldn't behave like that in public. So I don't see why, because you're sat behind a computer screen, you should be able to. We're human as well.
If you are happy to, I mean, what sort of stuff has been said? Like, what's something that's actually stuck with you for quite a while?
So when I first came out, I was like, probably like a 10, but I come out of Love Island, I was going on PAs, drinking loads, partying, eating what I wanted, and I was in love. I was happy in a relationship. Like, what do? Go out and eat dinners all the time. So
yeah,
go to restaurants and stuff. I must have only got to like a size 12, but people were vicious. They were like, there was one lady and she was like, right now you resemble one house. If you carry on, you're going to resemble two. So I suggest you stop eating. I was like, oh my God.
My word.
And I've never been called fat in my life. I was like, what? But normally it's like slut-shamey stuff. Oh, you're embarrassing. What do your parents say? Your parents must be proud. You're never going to get a husband. And just all that like old-fashioned, archaic crap.
Yeah, exactly. And what I find bizarre about trolls, and I've talked to this about people as well, it's the fact that somebody has quite literally gone out their way to have done that, like to send a message or to leave a comment. They've actually taken effort to do that and for somehow felt better. And I just find it utterly bizarre. I don't know how they get, I can't get my head around that part.
Some of them are quite substantial as well, like paragraphs.
Yeah. Paragraphs. It's like, yeah, because I know Megan's going to read this. This is really going to get under her skin.
No, but with them ones, when they've put a lot of time and effort in and it's just pure hate, I turn it around. I'm like, I feel sorry for you. Imagine if that's the highlight of your day, putting someone else down. And I hope that they do get help, because that's not a healthy way to live. You should
right.
Hate in your heart.
Did you ever go through a time where you actually kind of responded to them?
Oh, yeah. I loved it. When I first came out, I thought it was highly entertaining to react, screenshot what they've put, and then give my little cocky comeback. But all that did was fuel it, and there'll be more and more and more. So I've stopped replying now.
Fair enough. Yeah. It's one of those things that will always continue to happen. So you're fighting a losing battle, I suppose.
I had to react to Scott Disick, though. That was the last person I reacted to.
Oh, God. Yeah. What was said again?
He was like, how dare you tell my friend he's not funny and he's not exactly Jim Carrey. Beautiful, Eow.
Yeah, that was it.
I wasn't even being mean, though. Like, some people just don't get on. Like, it's not that deep.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious. Now, before you did go on Love Island, though, I just want to talk about kind of your relationship with your mum when she found out about your job and how that came about. Because I suppose at the time you didn't want to tell her what you were doing. And maybe rightly so. I don't know what your relationship is with her. But if you were so close, how come that you weren't able to kind of connect and tell her?
So, like I said, with my parents, they have come from like really working class backgrounds, and they've given everything they had to me and my brother, like every saving they'll like save up for us. And they was like, the rules are, to get this money for your first car, you can't drink, you can't smoke, and you can't you have to try hard at your exams. So I already felt like I'd let them down by not getting the A's that I really wanted to get. So for me to leave a law firm where I was a legal PA and say, oh, actually, I want to go and dance and be a stripper. I thought that would break their heart. So even though I knew deep down they would support me, especially knowing how much money I made, I just didn't want. And society was different back then, I feel like. Even though it was only 5 years ago, it wasn't as spoke about. Like, Beyonce wouldn't sing about, I don't know, OnlyFans. Cardi B didn't exist. There was no powerful women that had come from a sex work background that were respected. So, yeah, I think it was more society. But she was, like, when I first told her, she did cry. And I was like, look, don't be sad. I'm safe. And then I really broke it down for her. I was like, look, there's girls my age going clubbing where there's men drinking around them, and girls would sit with a boy in his area, go home with a guy because he's wearing a nice watch or he's got a table and a bottle of Grey Goose. I'm going into a club. No one's touching me. I'm not getting intoxicated. I'm having a few drinks, earning money and coming home. And she's like, okay.
Yeah, it's very true.
And I think she just saw the like independence it gave me having that.
And as well, it's that, well, going back to that society thing again, it's just that matter of judgment, considering, as you say, almost that archaic opinion and view, when actually we are in a place in the 21st century where women are allowed to choose to do what they want with their bodies. You're allowed to, you should be able to walk down the street in London and not be scared. And I still find that barbaric. That, you know, my younger sister lives in London, and actually, if I would say to her, don't walk home on your own at night. And the fact that I still have to say that is awful.
Yeah. And it's not even about like what you're wearing. Like, women going jogging on a dark night, you just wouldn't do it. I said that to my mum the other day. I was like, the luxury men have to just go and for a run when it's like turning evening time, or in the winter when it's dark and it's like 6 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning, it's still pitch black. Like, as a woman, I don't feel safe doing that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I can understand as well. And but it's so sad that that's still the case.
I feel like we're getting there slowly. I feel like by making it such a big thing when these things do happen and not brushing it under the carpet, like,
yeah,
we need to feel safe. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think you're right. So, I mean, there's certainly more being done, you know, more awareness, let's say. But that still doesn't mean that it happens from the, there's change technically from the top. But I suppose maybe there's more societal pressure there. But anyway, good combo. This is great. But let's talk about relationships then. Because I obviously, as everyone does, going throughout their life, you have various relationships here and there. But with relationships, I want to talk about toxic relationships, first of all, because as someone who's got many young fans and young adults that look up to you, how would you help to identify something that would be deemed as toxic?
I feel like if it's making your mental health deteriorate, making you doubt yourself, you don't feel fulfilled by this person isn't bringing anything to the table or making you feel better, then that's a big, massive, huge red flag and you should run for the hills.
Yeah, sure. But I mean, how important is it in kind of these relationships, or just relationships in general? I know the problem is with lockdown, people have probably got in each other's pockets, in a sense, the people that have been living together. But how important is it to see your friends and just do stuff without your partner? Because you know that, well, hopefully, they're going to come home at the end of the night, or at least, you know, text you being like, I'll see you in the morning.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's so important and so healthy. I always say, like, if there's no trust with someone, I'll just end it there, or just make that barrier really clear and say, look, if you don't trust me and I don't trust you, there's no point having this as a relationship. We can be friends with benefits, but without trust, what's the point? Like, I couldn't live like that.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
I think it's so healthy to have friends around you. Like, friends are, when people say, oh, I'm single, I can't go on a holiday, like, take a friend. Like, some of the best memories I've had are with my friends, not in relationships. My longest relationship has been like 9 months. I'm always single and I have the best time.
Well, I know, it sounds like you're doing quite well on the traveling front as well, considering you're single. How are you with breakups then? How do you kind of deal with them and tackle them? Are you quite good at compartmentalizing?
I've definitely got better with age. I feel like when I was younger, I used to be an absolute mess. But I think it's more, I know it sounds brutal, but it's more the habit than the actual person.
Yeah, I completely agree. Oh, 100%. You've nailed it.
I sound savage saying that, but yeah, like obviously I've been in love, but I feel like for me, it's that routine and that having that person to wake up to and they care what's happening in your day and you can tell them about the most pettiest thing and they want to hear it. It's that that I miss rather than that person themselves.
Yeah, no, I get you. It's just, as you say, you fall into easy habits. And it's the hardest thing to break a habit. That's why, you know, people find smoking so difficult to quit, or it's so difficult to go sober or something. They're all habits and you just get so used to doing it.
Yeah, it's like a comfort blanket. But for me, that scares me more, having someone that I've settled for that is a comfort blanket rather than me being like fully head over heels in love with this person. And they make me grow as a person. I make them grow as a person. Like I couldn't be with someone just to have someone.
A brief break in the podcast to tell you about my season 8 sponsor, RCK Partners. If you're looking to take advantage of R&D tax credits to boost your business's cash flow, RCK Partners can help you. Simply head to rck.partners or follow the link in the podcast description below. That's rck.partners. Now, back to the podcast.
So thinking about those like breakups again as well, do you have any tips to people on how to cope with it in terms of, say, the first week? What should you do or what do you recommend doing?
Well, I definitely don't recommend taking to your Instagram story like I did and saying why the person that your partner's cheated with is such a piece of shit. So if you can refrain from doing that, my next bit of advice would be stay busy, form a routine, and also don't rush like feeling shit. Like it's human. You've got to sit with that feeling of feeling like shit.
Totally right. I think I don't think you should ever fight it. You've got to accept it. And what about the term rebound then? Do you think that's a positive thing or do you think that's negative because you're putting off the feelings?
I feel like sit with it, definitely. But if you want to have a little fun in the meantime, live your best life. We're on this planet once. If you want to distract yourself for a few hours, go ahead and do it.
Totally.
Get that good dick.
So when you've, since joining OnlyFans then, I think you have been kind of, I don't know, maybe dating people, I'm not sure. But has anyone ever, or when they've asked you out, for example, to go for a date or anything, brought it up negatively to you?
No. So this is the thing. The whole time we're together, dating, they love it. They're like, what do you do on there? Even offered to star in it sometimes if they're feeling a bit brave. Ah. But it's only at the end when we break up, they try and like, or things aren't working, they try and like throw it back in your face. And like, I just think that's such a low blow and like kind of embarrassing, but it makes me feel better because obviously there's nothing that I've done as a person. You're just using my career against me, which you didn't mind when I'm taking you for dinners and buying you holidays and doing this. So I don't know. I've had it like, obviously I've worked in the sex industry from the age of 20. So I've had it every relationship I have. They haven't got an issue until we break up. And then it's like, oh, you're a slut. Or, oh, the reason I cheated is because I felt insecure because you're going out there dancing. It's like, okay. It's just a cop-out, I think.
Yeah, I think they're trying to say, it's just like a troll, really, isn't it? They're trying to say something to make themselves feel better, to almost justify what's going on.
Yeah, and I feel like that's a them issue. If they need to cheat, that's their insecurity. And they should have addressed it before.
I mean, you've built an incredible platform on OnlyFans in terms of how many people you've got on there, and you clearly are at the top of the game of it. I mean, do you see it as something that you will continue to do for a significant period of time?
Yeah, I love it. And I just love the community and the platform that is OnlyFans. Like, obviously, these people are paying a subscription fee. So there is no hate. There is no trolling. It's purely positive. And I love how diverse my fans are. Like, I have straight women follow me. I have gay guys follow me on there. Like, it's a community and it's a way for me to interact with fans that I don't get to on Instagram. And I can be authentically myself on there. Like, when I do lives, we speak about all kinds of things. I think people in their mind want to sexualize it and make it this sleazy, seedy site. And it's really not that. It's so much more. But yeah, I don't think I'll be doing it forever. I want to get to a place where I can, like, my looks aren't anything to do with my career. I want to have, like, income from other ventures. And I'd really love to be that role model for women who want to get on there and need advice. So I think that's going to be the goal.
Yeah, I saw you put that on your story about potentially doing kind of tutorials and stuff for to help others to join. And obviously, you had a following and a great platform on social media before you joined, which allowed for great access for the public. I mean, and then do you think that it would necessarily be a challenge for people in the public to join? Or is it actually far more to it than just the financial gains? It's about that freedom of expression and that body positivity.
You can use it however you want. I do think it's great, like, for, like, a financial situation if you're, for some reason, you can't, like, leave your house or whatever. So, like, during lockdown, it was great. But it's so much more than that. Like you said, you've got creativity of everything. And a lot of girls before trying to get into glamour modeling or any kind of modeling like that, it would always be men and big companies that would have the rights to pictures, dictate to you what level you needed to shoot at, whether that be topless or you had to be, like, implied nude to make it in this industry. With this, the model has all the power. She can say, or he can say, what he wants to shoot, what hours he's going to shoot it. He's got all the rights to his images or her images, and they can charge whatever price they want. They're their own boss. But obviously, yeah, I had the boost from my following. But before Love Island, I was actually on it. It was the producers of Love Island that said, this is like a family TV show and this is an adult site. So can you take your thing down? Or so I still would have had it the whole time. And I was still making decent money from it then with a fraction of the followers that I do now.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about just in terms of body positivity then as well. Because as I was saying, you've got this great amount of young adults that look up to you, and you're open and you're honest on these platforms, which is really exciting. What is your relationship with kind of body positivity and in terms of your own body? Has it been difficult over the years in terms of to always love yourself when you're getting trolls saying stuff to you, or have you actually been quite content and happy in terms of no matter what other people are saying, what other opinions are, you're happy with what your body?
When I was at school, that's when, like, I was bullied. So my ears used to stick out and I was bullied for that. Like, boys would say nasty things and make comments. So that was like the first ever surgery that I had. I had my ears pinned back. So I'd say that was probably the worst time I struggled with, like, body positivity and loving myself, just because kids are cruel. Like, if I was this age, I'd probably have just left them alone. But when you're going into school every day and you're just, like, whacking your hair up in a ponytail and people are constantly saying things, it would wear you down. So that was a struggle. As soon as I left school, I was so confident. And what my advice to girls is, when I had my ears pinned back and then I had a boob job at 19, which is still very young, I did think, when I have these bigger boobs, I'm going to be so much more confident. And it's like, I was young and that was such a dumb way of thinking. And that's my biggest message. If you've really thought about it and the main focus of your day is an imperfection that you see as an imperfection in your body and you want to change it, it's your body, do whatever makes you happy. But please believe me, what you do on the outside shell, whether you dress yourself up in the most designer, beautiful clothes, have every surgery under the sun, it's not going to change within you. Like, if you don't love yourself, no matter what you look like to everyone else, it's not going to change you. You need to change that relationship with yourself first. And I wish someone had told me that. I mean, I still would have gone through and done everything, but I just wish that I had that insight before to do the therapy alongside it rather than afterwards. And then I've always been, like, very body positive. Like, every surgery I've had, I've always fully researched and done. I've been very open about it's only the weight thing. That's the only other time. And that was really end of last year, beginning of this year. I'd lost weight. I got the Peloton. I was training. I went sober for 3 months and I had abs and I'd never had abs. But the pressure from people telling me, oh, it's the best you've ever looked. It's the best you've ever looked. Then I was like, oh, shit, now I have to maintain this. And it wasn't like I've been traveling. I want to live. I want to go to nice restaurants. So I had a little, I wouldn't say crisis, but yeah, I was definitely focused on my body a lot early this year, more than I should have. But I've got that under control now. So it swings and roundabouts.
Yeah, I guess it's finding that balance, isn't it? Because you can drive yourself into the best shape you've ever been in your life, but it's almost unsustainable and not healthy for your mindset.
Yeah, and I didn't want it to be the focus of my day. Like, I work hard. I should be able to go out and live and have a few glasses of wine with friends, go to nice restaurants and not think, oh my God, I must maintain these abs. But I think it's like mental health. It's always up and down. It's never like some linear, like perfect line. Like, oh, you fixed mental health. Now that's that checked off.
Totally. What would you say then you do daily to maintain your mental health then? Just to make sure that, you know, you're there and checked in and kind of get through the day in a good way.
Exercise is a massive thing for me and structure. So I think I try and allow myself to have like 3 hours of just time for myself, regardless of work and stuff like that. So I meditate in the morning, I do my little gym routine, and then of the evening, sometimes if I've had a particularly stressful day, I'll try and meditate again, or do like, I go to boxing, I've started that. And that's the one time that my mind can switch off when I'm like focusing on like the sequences of boxing that I'm doing, my mind, because I talk to myself a lot in my mind, and a lot of the time I have to pull myself up because it's negative. So when I'm doing things like this or working out, I don't have time to think those things. So that really helps me.
Do you think you're in the best place you've ever been in your life?
Yeah, definitely. I would say my mental health is the best it's been. I'd say I love myself more than I ever have. And I don't know whether that is just like years of therapy or just age. I think the older you get, the more you're like, well, I'm happy, so can't please anyone else.
Totally. Now, this is the last question that I ask every guest when they come on my podcast. What does the word headstrong mean to you?
Headstrong means to me that you know your morals, you know your values, you know what you stand for. And no matter what anyone else has to say or how you're judged, that's your beliefs and you're sticking to it, and that's you as a person.
Love that. Megan, thank you so much for joining me on Headstrong. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, thank you. It's been fun.
Thank you, Megan, for joining me on the podcast. I really, really appreciate it. I've been trying to get Megan for some time now, and I think that it was certainly worth the wait. I've really enjoyed that conversation, and I think she's great and really insightful as well, and genuinely honest, which is so refreshing. If you have enjoyed the podcast, please do subscribe, rate, leave a review, send it to friends, family, whatever you fancy doing. But I just want to thank you so much for tuning in to the podcast. It means a lot. There will be another at least 7 episodes in this series, so be sure to hit subscribe so the episode lands in your library every Monday morning.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.